Mini episode 1858 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at Sportsology.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the FDH Lounge. This is FDH Managing Partner Rick Morris coming at you here today with my fellow FDH Lounge original dignitary Chris Galloway, and we are gathered here today to do a preview of the 2025 AFC North. And again, if you want to hear our macro level thoughts on any of the divisions this year, go to the first one in our series that's been posted, that being for the NFC East, where we talk about a few macro level issues before getting into the NFC East. Discussion for the rest of these, we're mainly just talking about the division itself, referencing other teams if it happens to come up in a point of comparison or if we're talking about the conference as a whole. But looking at the AFC North today, and again, from Fantasy Football Draftology 2025, available on the main page at fantasydrafthelp.com, our format comes from the one run-on sentence for each AFC team. And for the AFC North specifically, and this segment is on page 17 of the guide, these are the teams in the predicted order of finish by moi. So here we go. For the AFC North champion, that would be Baltimore. If the team holds up in the trenches and the boatload of city miles don't catch up to Derrick Henry, then this could be a breakthrough year in Baltimore. Cincinnati, a defense that will continue to blow non-shootout games and a bad offensive line, are holding back Joe Burrow and his wondrous wideouts from another Super Bowl run. Cleveland, they say if you have two quarterbacks that you have none, which must mean that the Browns have a negative number of quarterbacks, along with a turnstile left tackle, a lack of wideout depth, notwithstanding significant resources in the position over the past few years, and reliability issues in the secondary that flare up at the worst possible times. Pittsburgh. The Steelers took their lack of urgency with the QB position to new lows in the offseason and have questions on the offensive line and secondary. So I know year after year, Chris, I continue to anticipate the collapse of the Steelers. And Tomlin jokes his way into the playoffs for the obligatory first-round flameout. Perhaps I'll be wrong again this year, but I'm calling it again this year, and one of these years I'm going to be right.
Yeah, I've really struggled with this division and sort of breaking it down and analyzing it. I think it's going to take a big step backwards in terms of what people think of it as the, you know, it's not going to be one of the top two divisions in football anymore.
No.
I agree with you. It's the Ravens. It's the class of the division. They should pretty comfortably cruise to first place with, you know, probably 11 or 12 wins. You know, their secondary, if you look at last year, I mean, the secondary was, I think it was the worst in the NFL in terms of giving up yardage, in terms of in the passing game. I mean, so that remains a problem for them. You know, there's always the issue of, you know, they're Lamar Jackson's got it all hanging out there. He's one Minka Fitzpatrick away from, you know, their season completely falling apart.
Yep.
But I don't think that's going to happen. I think they could score enough points, and you know, they're the team to beat in the division. The rest of it, I know the rest of the world thinks the Bengals are, you know, playoff bound and, you know, 11 wins and all the rest of this stuff. Have they looked at that defense? Have they looked at that offensive line?
Right.
And by the way, if they get rid of Henriksen in a trade, And don't get back some defensive pieces, right, that they can plug in this year.
Right.
They're going to be even worse.
Yep.
So I'm going to actually take a very, 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 very bold. This is like my Giants pick. I'm saying the Bengals in last place in the division.
Whoa! What? Yep. This might be more shocking than you picking the Giants to win the NFC East. I mean, that's neck and neck.
Here's why. I don't believe in the Steelers at all.
No. Right?
They are going to somehow still find a way to win 8 or 9 games, right?
Okay.
Whether he wins his 9 and is above 500 again, or right. Maybe this time he just misses it and they go 8 and 9. Like, I think the Steelers are going to be, you know, competitive until the end. Some way, somehow, despite the fact that every year I think the wheels are falling off. You know, they managed to get their 9 wins, become a wild card, lose in the first round, and we rinse, repeat all over again.
Yeah.
I think they'll be the second place team.
Yeah.
I think the Browns are going to be an 8 win team.
I'm saying 7, so we're close.
Yeah. I think all this national talk about, I saw one prognostication. The guy predicted, they went through game by game. He said he had the Browns going 1-16. And I'm like, dude, they went 3-14 with the worst quarterback play in like a decade.
Mm-hmm.
They still managed to win 3 games.
Sure.
And with that defense completely gassed, with that offensive line in shambles and some of the worst quarterback play you've ever seen, they still won 3 games. So the idea that they're going to win 1 game, I was watching this, you know, this particular fellow in the media, and I thought, come on. Here's the bottom line, and here's why. Like, I think a lot of people not paying attention to the Browns are going to go, well, but I was told they have the worst roster in football. No, they don't. They've got really good players.
Did you hear my breakdown of the Dolphins?
I mean, they have some good players, man. I mean, now, I would say that your analysis of their roster situation is pretty accurate, right? In this sense, I don't disagree. I disagree with you on the left tackle thing. I think, you know, I think we might, Duan Jones, we might be in better shape there than you might be given credit for. He has looked good in preseason practice. He's in shape. I think we're going to be okay at left tackle, but
I would refer you to this. It's a little known fact. This is true. That in the 1970s, I think for the Washington Redskins, Andre the Giant had auditioned to play on the offensive line. There, it turns out there is more to this than merely being big, Chris. Okay, so I'm just pointing that out.
But I think he's also had the benefit of all summer going against Myles Garrett.
Okay,
he's in the best shape of his pro career. He's looked really good out there so far.
Okay,
so again. You always worry about injury, right? I think the biggest problem for the Browns is going to just be offensive line depth. I really worry about it. I mean, Conklin's going to play what, 3 games this year? You know, so it's, I think that, and Zinter hasn't proven that if we lose a guard that he can be the guy. So I really don't like their offensive line depth. I think that's where they could get, you know, bit. But I do like the fact that they are returning to the 2023 scheme, the 2022 scheme, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think everybody is judging the Browns on what they did last year because they ran an offense that they tried to shoehorn in to satisfy Watson. And even despite that, he played terrible. And everybody else on that offense was uncomfortable running that system other than Jerry Jeudy.
Right. Yeah.
And so they're going back to what they were good at in 22 and 23, when a lot of people after 22 had them as a, some people had them as a dark horse Super Bowl candidate in 23. Right. I mean, that,
who are those people?
Yeah. Well, I mean, they were, you know, that roster was being talked about as being, you know, remember that offensive line was considered one of the top two in the game. You know, there were high hopes for Watson. So anyway, they're going to return to the system they know, that the offensive line is comfortable with, that wide zone blocking scheme, despite the Quinshon Judkins situation. They're going to get him at some point this season. Again, we've talked about he's not the Ohio State running back I would have taken. I prefer right. Henderson,
right.
But it is what it is. But there is talent there. Thrash has looked good in the preseason as a probable number three wide receiver. Jerry Jeudy has really come on looking like the true number one that people thought he was going to be when he was a first-round draft pick by Denver. Njoku should flourish with Joe Flacco as quarterback because Joe throws to tight ends 34% of the time. Right. So, you know, Njoku and Fannin, they obviously are working on packages for Fannin, the tight end rookie. So, again, I think there's a way more talent there than people want to give them credit for. The revamped defensive line looks like it's going to be top three in the league. They're going to put pressure on quarterbacks. And that could help the shaky parts of the secondary. Losing Martin Emerson for the year really made them thin in the secondary in a way that they couldn't afford. That's a problem area. And I think that they may have to at some point do a trade to go find someone who's got a corner in a last year of a contract that maybe after four or five games it's not looking great, and they just go and they might have to go do something on that front. But yeah. All that being said, I think the Browns defense is going to lead this team. I think the Kevin Stefanski offense is back and it's ball control and clock control and running. And so the defense, unlike last year, won't be absolutely gassed in the second half. And then, you know, we'll be back to the way things were in 23 and how they are winning football games.
And again, this team, you mentioned Judkins and of course, you know, Michael Hall previously. It's been a thing the last couple of years of where this whole kind of cynical, like 1970s Raiders approach, but at least the Raiders won. At least the Raiders got a Super Bowl and made it to the AFC Championship game like 5 years in a row. This is cynicism without results. So you've got that part of it as well, as far as, you know, the kind of, you know, characters that they're bringing in off the street. And look at it just at the X's and O's, the secondary here. And I have felt that this is the key. You and I talked about this an awful lot looking at the 2023 season as far as the home road splits. They were Colorado Rockies-esque with this defense, okay? And why was that the case and whatever? I've always put that down to a large extent to the cornerback play, the secondary, because to me, I look at it and like, you look at the PFF scores for the cornerbacks on this roster, and it's one of those things where the whole is less than the sum of the parts somehow. All these guys, you know, oh, Ward's one of the best cornerbacks in the game. When he's in there, when he's not getting concussed again by somebody and this and that and whatever, and Newsome and all these other guys. And it's like, you know, this should be a relatively locked down secondary when they're all healthy. And it just really hasn't added up to be the case. They've been less than the sum of the parts in my estimation.
In some ways. I mean, last year, Martin Emerson took a step back. I don't really understand why. Mm-hmm. But he did. I mean, there's just no way around it. I think Ward last year had his best year he's had as a pro last year. So, you know, again, you're right. With him, it's health and concussions, and can he just avoid, you know, an injury that keeps him off the field? I think if that's the case, I mean, he's a lockdown corner. Mm-hmm. The only saving grace of Newsom is with Emerson being out is that Newsom is he's actually better on the outside versus playing him in the slot. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, he's in a contract year and motivated to show that he is that he can be a guy that deserves that contract. But again, they don't have anybody to play the slot worth a spit right now. And then their depth after Newsom and Ward is frightening. I mean, frightening. So that is to me just the absolute horror show of the defense. Now, like I said, you might bank on the fact that that defensive line is going to be so vicious. I mean, I'm here to tell you right now, take out $250 and bet the Browns to beat the Bengals in week one. The Browns will be as healthy as they're going to be. They are, you know, there's not going to be an issue of, you know, banged up and therefore they can't compete, right? Joe Flacco, right? 40-year-old Joe Flacco is not going to have any problem carving up
that
Cincinnati defense, right? And so that means Joe Burrow, with that shaky O-line, has got to overcome that pass rush and that pressure. And I don't think he's going to be able to do it. I think the Browns are going to beat the Bengals in week one, and I think that's going to start the whole discussion, you know, around Cincinnati and what they've got going on. And I think it may surprise some folks that maybe the Browns aren't going to be as bad as everybody thinks they're going to be, a 3-win team and in the first or second pick in the draft. And I just don't see it playing out that way. Yes, the first 6 games are a murderer's row.
You're right.
If they can,
they better win week one. They better win, because if they don't, they're going 0-4 and going into London needing to beat the Vikings in the fifth game. Needing.
Yeah. No, I agree. And that's going to be brutal. And I will tell you, their motivation in week two going to Baltimore while the NFL celebrates 30 years of football in Baltimore. celebrate 30 years of the Ravens. And oh, by the way, we're doing it in their celebration in the first home game of the season for the Ravens. And oh, look, it's the Browns who they stabbed in the back. If the Browns can't get up for that game, I mean, come on. I know a lot of these guys weren't even alive then, but
yeah,
I mean, you know, it's from a fan standpoint. You talk about one game the fans desperately want that team to win this year. That's going to be it. No, I agree. I mean, look, I think if the Browns can win 2 or 3 of those first 6 games, they've got a puncher's chance at that sort of 8-win, you know, 8-win plateau. Again, like the Jets, trying to reestablish a culture of winning, right? You know, last year was just terrible. I watched, if you recall our preseason last year, I called out in our previews my concerns over what I was seeing in practice and preseason, that they looked like shit. And I was like, this team looks terrible. They look undisciplined. They don't look like they know what they're doing in terms of the offense. You know, I'm like, I was horrified by what I was seeing in the preseason. And then I saw it in week one against the Cowboys, everything I had seen in the preseason. And then I think you and I even had a conversation, and I'm like, they're going to be terrible this year. I'm not going to watch another game. And I didn't.
Yeah.
I turned off the Browns for the whole season. Never watched a game. Never stopped listening to Brown, you know, sports radio.
Yeah.
I just checked it all out. I couldn't take it. I knew after preseason what was going to happen. And then when it was confirmed in that Dallas game, I just checked out. And mentally, it was the right thing to do. Now, I will say this year, I haven't had that vibe out of camp. They've looked far better in camp and far better in preseason. They, you know, are they perfect? No, no team is while they're working it out. But it's been night and day versus what I saw last year.
Yeah.
And so I feel a lot better about what we're going to see coming out of camp with this team. And again, I think it translates. And again, they've got to turn that culture around. But I think the big question is going to be about, you know, what happens with the Bengals.
Right.
It's going to be a lot of retribution. If Hendrickson's gone and that defense is one of the bottom 2 or 3 in the league, Zach Taylor's losing his job.
Yeah.
They'll be all, you know, if the O-line doesn't hold up, Joe Burrow won't hold up. I just think this season is going to go absolutely down the drain for the Bengals. And there's going to be a lot of talk about ownership, culture, have they done Joe wrong? Have they done him dirty? Have they done, you know, they haven't, you know, they've given him two weapons and Higgins and Jamar Chase and nothing else. And I think it could get really ugly really fast over there.
Yeah. And that's a situation where you look at it and just everything, it is just so putrid as far as how the Bengals have, like you said, allocated everything else. And of course, their excuse will be, oh, we had to pay Burrow, which, welcome to the NFL. You have to pay your star players. You know, Mike Brown might as well be an honorary, you know, he might as well be a relative of Paul Dolan for the whole congratulate me for once in a while paying some person something, which that's part of your job is to acquire and pay stars. And so them doing this, I look at this with the Bengals and it's like, we look at recent things here. I like to make cross sport comparisons. Like some of the athletes that people have felt sorry for, like, oh boy, the Angels haven't really put anything around Mike Trout. In the NBA, it's a little harder to think of somebody, but years ago, it was a thing of like, oh boy, the Washington hasn't put anything around Bradley Beal. Find me something that compares to our boy, the honorary Bobcat, Joe Burrow, as far as how he's getting screwed over there, because this is a thing. I was talking about this with somebody, I think it was on Joe Stasek's show, Callous Remarks. I was sitting in for Steve Callous recently. I think I made the observation there that, like, it's going to be like Dan Fouts in the 80s. If you don't put up 50 points, you're going to lose the game. How fair is that to Joe Burrow?
That's exactly what I'm saying about the Bengals. They can't – they're not going to be able to score 38 points every week.
Right.
They're just they're not going to be able to, because there's going to be some good defenses that they're going to face. Baltimore, Pittsburgh, Cleveland, to be example. Sure. They're going to play three good defenses in their division.
Yeah.
All right. And then they're going to face a good defense in Detroit and a good defense in Green Bay this year. And they're going to face, I mean, that's why I think the Bengals, even though everybody's got them in the playoffs and 11 wins, I'm telling you, I think it's going to go sideways. Because of that defense, it's terrible. And if it doesn't have Hendrickson, it's even more bleak. And so if they ship him off, dude, I mean, the Bengals will be looking at like, you know, 4 or 5 wins.
Could be. Yeah. Could be a situation like Miami. I'm calling the collapse in Miami. You're calling the collapse in Cincinnati. It could very well be. And it is a situation where, look, the fact that I have them in second place, Chris, that is largely a result of my plummeting lack of respect for this division. This division is not what it was 2-3 years ago, okay?
It isn't at all. It's not at all.
No.
The only team that's still living up to the division, you know, mantle is the Ravens.
Yeah.
And again, with the Steelers, right, they're very long in the tooth in the defense, and their offensive line is shaky. Aaron Rodgers is old and slower now. His arm isn't as strong. And I'm here to tell you, I could see the Steelers, even, you know, I'm predicting 8-9 wins there, right?
Yeah.
But I could see this is their 1 year of Aaron, right? 8-9 wins, maybe make a wild card, maybe not, you know.
Yeah.
But then then Aaron's gone and retired and done, and they're in no man's land on the draft and getting a quarterback. And then that's a situation where the Browns could very well jump them in terms of hierarchy within the division.
Yeah, and I think that's what's going to happen. But again, that's just more my lack of regard for where Pittsburgh's at. And all I know is, like, I cannot wait to see Mike Tomlin's face the first time in a post-game press conference when somebody asks Aaron Rodgers about his health regimen, and he says that he's gargling horse piss because Joe Rogan told him to do so. You know, like, I can't wait till Tomlin has to deal with that, Chris. That's going to be just absolutely amazing. But yeah, the AFC North.
I will say this. Those two guys seem to like each other. So, you know,
it's Tomlin still
might be gargling that with him, I suppose. he might be gargling it with him. I don't know. But they seem to be in a bit of a bro love fest. So, well, to your point, we'll see how long that lasts. But
yeah,
I don't see Rodgers being a difference maker with an aging defense and an O-line that doesn't look better than last year, and last year was shaky. So, and oh, by the way, the running back out of Iowa, that they picked up, the rookie.
Yeah.
Dude, he looks slow.
Yeah.
I mean, slow. He does not look like he's got NFL speed.
Yeah.
I you know, watching a little bit of the preseason with them, he looks slow. So I think they've got a problem there.
Are we sure that they didn't accidentally draft an offensive guard from Iowa? Did they get the position wrong here? I thought we were getting a running back. Yeah. That's
I don't know why the kid's name is escaping me. A lot of people liked him coming out.
Yeah,
if I recall, and his 40 time was good. I remember that in the draft. This is one of those ones where I wish we had. You know, Jason here to say, oh yeah, you're talking about so-and-so.
Yeah.
I sit here and because they've got Warren, who's clearly going to start.
Right.
Johnson.
Yeah. That is
his Johnson. His name is Johnson out of Iowa.
Yeah.
His 40 time, if I recall, was not very good. And I'll tell you what, watching the preseason, dude, I was watching Caleb Johnson. That's it. Caleb Johnson.
Yeah.
I was watching. I'm like, dude, he looks slow.
Yeah.
And behind that offensive line, I'm like, oh man, that may not work. That may not work. Well, but you know, I'm still gonna say, it's Tomlin. The defense is good enough. They'll find a way to get that 8-9 wins somehow. They'll be just mediocre enough. But next year, without a quarterback, it could doom them.
Well, yeah, and. You know, you talked about Rodgers and you rattled off a bunch of things. You're not sure if Rodgers can help lift a franchise with, and you rattled off a bunch of different things here. You know what I'm going to add to that you didn't? I'm not sure that Rodgers can lift a franchise with a slower and less armed Aaron Rodgers playing quarterback here. So it's a thing where, again, he ain't what he used to be. We've seen it the last couple of years. He doesn't suck at this point, but it is one of these things where I talk about this with different players in the NFL of where they should be legally obligated to change their name at a certain point. If you're going to play like Joe Schmo, that ought to be the name on the jersey. And Aaron Rodgers doesn't deserve to have the name Aaron Rodgers on the jersey anymore.
Yeah, no, he should change his name to Roger Aaron.
Yes.
Yeah, he's, I mean, look, to your point, what's he going to be this year? The 19th best quarterback in the league?
Yeah.
I mean, he's a steady veteran, but that's not going to be enough. And I mean, for everybody dogging, you know, Flacco, you look at Flacco's stats in the last 16 starts, like in the equivalent of a season, he's got way better stats than Rodgers.
Yeah.
And he has shown, even in the preseason, that arm is still big, it's still lively, and he can spiral that ball. I mean, Joe can sling it. Now, as you said to me, you know, a couple days ago in a text message, it's you know, see me about the INTs, right?
I mean,
Browns fans, Stefanski's going to coach in a way that he's going to try to figure out how to get Flacco to throw the three touchdowns and only one INT instead of three, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's what he's got to figure out how to do.
Yeah.
He's get Joe just to throw one every game instead of three.
Yeah. Well, you know, all I can say is, again, as I said before, tax breaks for Northeast Ohioans for every Flacco INT. Make it happen, my man. But that's where, when you look at this division,
well, maybe that's got to be the McDonald's giveaway. You know, the Cavs scoring 100. I got a lot of free fries this last season, and maybe with that, it's, you know, McDonald's has got to be like, yo, you get a McFlurry every time Joe throws an INT or something.
Yeah,
you
get that's a happy, right.
Maybe you get an unhappy meal. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, and to your point about Aaron Rodgers, if he did have to change his name to Roger Aaron, does that mean that he would be somebody capable of beating Babe Ruth in two different record categories? there's a nerdy base. There's a nerdy baseball reference for everybody, which is probably a sign that we have hit, as the late great Mean Gene Okerlund would say, the shank of the evening here as we're talking about the AFC North. So that is our preview of the AFC North for this season. Thank you, Chris Galloway. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in to our 2025 AFC North preview. Up next, we'll reconvene someday soon to do the AFC South on the FDH Lounge.